Friends, good morning. What a gorgeous and lovely day. I want to frame our worship a little bit this morning in this way. You need to know that in this church we began our Lenten journey with the wisdom of Brian McLaren. Here's what he told us. He said that the gift of the liturgical calendar is a suggestion that we should mark our days not only with the cycles of the moon and the seasons, but also with the occasions to tell our children the story of our faith community's past, so that our past will have a future. He reminds us that stories are of critical importance to us people of flesh and faith, for stories bring liberation. They stoke the imagination. They enliven the heart. Stories are important because within their words, their movement, and their telling, there is always new meanings just waiting to burst forth. And so when we get to a story as important as the Easter one, our holy calling is not just to read and hear them, but rather to place ourselves within the narrative, to dwell within the story and to bring them to life, to give our past a future, and to find renewal in the midst of our own journey to the cross and beyond. So it is in that spirit that we will begin worship this morning by telling the very story of Easter, that new meanings might burst forth. I invite you to enter this story and fully and as completely as you can. We will reach back to Good Friday, to the day that put this day in motion. And then you and I together will join those women on the journey to the tomb, hearts made heavy and hopes dashed. Friends, let us place ourselves into that story, that our past might have a future.
Oh, sometimes. after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Friends, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
are afflicted in every way,
but not crushed,
struck down,
but not destroyed.
For we are persuaded that neither death nor life,
nor angels nor principalities,
nor things present nor things to come,
nor powers nor height nor depth,
nor anything else in all creation
will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Savior.
For on Easter day, God defeated death.
On Easter, life wins.
Alleluia, Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Friends, the gift that Christ came to bring was the gift of peace. He gave it freely with one small catch, that we not keep it to ourselves, but rather that we spread it far and wide that it might grow. So in that spirit, I invite you to turn to one another and with a word, a handshake, or even a holy hug, spread that peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
How good and sweet it is to dwell in peace. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite all of the children who are present to come on up and join me right here. And by the way, I have presents for you, so come on up. All right, let's squish up as close as we can. Let's make room for everybody. So, I gotta say, today you guys look great. There's a lot of people in this room. Is today a holiday or something?
Yes.
What is it?
Easter.
Easter. Oh my goodness, I completely forgot. Now here's the thing. There are some holidays that fall on particular days within the year, right? They happen on the same day every year. We'll start with an easy one. Let's see if you can answer this one. On what day of the year does the 4th of July take place every year? On July 4th. Oh my goodness, that's really good. Okay, what about New Year's Day?
New Year's.
New Year's, but what day is it? Yeah. January 1st. Every year you can count on it, right? And then another biggie. How about Christmas? What day does Christmas happen? Which is it, the 24th or the 25th? It is kind of a two-day thing, isn't it? It kind of goes from the 24th to the 25th, right? And I don't know about you, but in our house, we always cheat and open some presents on Christmas Eve. It started with just one, and then became two, and then there were barely any left. But anyway, Easter isn't one of those kinds of holidays. That is why we do it. But how we know what day Easter is going to be is kind of interesting. It's pegged to the original Jewish holiday of Passover, because that's when the events in Jerusalem that surrounded Jesus' death and resurrection took place. Now, if you want to figure it out, It falls on the first Sunday after the Paschal full moon or the vernal equinox. Okay, so put that in your calendar for next year. So the reality is it means that Easter can happen anywhere from March 22nd to April 25th. It can take place across the span of an entire month. But each and every year, Easter does take place in the spring. And I think that's important. What's happening outside right now? Have you paid attention to anything? What's going on? Yeah. Well, we are putting out Easter eggs. That is true. And that will happen later. But what is nature up to outside? Spring. And what happens in the spring? It gets warmer. Flowers bloom. That's true. In the Berkshires, ticks come out everywhere. That is true. What else happens in the spring? Yeah. Leaves start growing on trees. It's a way of remembering that after a long winter, life bursts forth again. Now, we have a present for you, and since there's so many of you, we're going to have you come pick them up at the end on your way back to your seats. They are hyacinth plants. Frank, can you hold one up? They're pretty, aren't they? And you know what? They smell. Now, if you ask people, some people will tell you they're the most heavenly scent ever. Having those things across my office for the last 3 days, I'm not one of those people. So here's what you need to know. They get planted outside. So when you go back to your pew, give them to somebody that you love. But then when you get home, plant them outside. Because here's what's going to happen. Every year, at about this time, they are going to burst forth from the ground, and they will bloom and burst into flower. And that way you'll know Easter is right around the corner. And the most important thing to know about Easter is that no matter what happens, no matter how hard life is, no matter how hard school is, no matter what's going on, God always reminds us that there are new beginnings and new chances. So when you see that flower come up in your yard, know that there are new chances, and that Easter is just around the corner, and that if you come back again next year, I'll give you another present. Does that sound like a deal?
Yeah.
Okay, so here in this church, we do something before I send you back to your seats. And by the way, I realize that I completely forgot to do the welcome and announcements, so we'll do that after this. But anyway, before I send you back to your seats, we do a prayer called the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, and it's one that we try to teach all the children of every age who comes to this church. So if you know the words, you could say them out loud with us. And if you don't, you can simply listen, and we will teach it to you. Here's how we do it. I want you to stand up and find somebody and hold their hand, whether you know them a little bit or a lot or not at all. Hold their hands, and we'll make one big circle. Okay. Again, we're going to pray, and if you know the words, say them out loud. Do you want to come into our circle with us, or do you want to stay there? You can stay there. If you know them, say them out loud, and if not, we'll teach them to you, and that applies to all of you too. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so come and get a flower. If you have a brother or sister with you, for right now, just take one. And if we have enough, we'll make sure you get a second one later. But come on up and grab one, and then as the choir sings, you can head back to your seat. One of the reasons I love Easter so much is because it's all about forgiveness. And so when the pastor is a little tired and a little groggy and misses a whole part of worship, I hope that you will extend some forgiveness. So in that spirit, I once again say to you, good morning. In the name of the one whom the vaults of death could not contain. In the name of the teacher, the healer, our risen Lord and Savior, I bid you welcome. Welcome to worship here at the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Welcome to a time of joy and celebration of how love smote hate, how humility bested power, how truth triumphed over deception and life overcame death. There is something that I absolutely want you to remember about today. And it's not just that you are welcome here, because each of you are. You are, in fact, welcome here, whoever you love, whatever kind of body you have. However much beautiful pigmentation is in your skin, however much cash there is in your wallet, however much fear there is in your heart, whatever it is that you believe or are struggling with all the joy that you bring, and wherever you are on life's journey. It is true that you are fully welcome here, but what I want you to remember is why. It isn't simply because we are nice, although we try. It is because each and every one of you are God's beloved. You are treasured and cherished by the Holy One so much that you are worth going to the ends of the earth for, and even breaking the bounds of death for. You are precious and loved and needed if we are ever to become the body of Christ that the earth so desperately needs. So friends, welcome to worship. Soak it all in, drink it all up, bask in the love of God and the love of neighbor, for in one short hour, we will leave this place to bring God's news, to bring healing and restoration to the whole world. Friends, welcome to the worship of God at the First Congregational Church of Stockbridge. I have a couple of announcements for you about our worship today. First of all, it is a joy to have all the children in the church. Know this, I have a 3-year-old. I get that children make noise. And children making noise is a beautiful sound of joy. So if your child is making noise, go ahead and let them. If they're making so much noise that you can't worship, know that we do have a nursery through those doors, or it's a beautiful day, you can take them outside. But know that children are welcome here, not only today, but every Sunday. In each of your pews, you will find a pew card. If you are a visitor to us, would you fill that out and drop that in, and maybe drop that in the offering plate as it comes by, and let us know why you are here so that we might reach out and extend love to you beyond this day. I will remind you again, but after worship, we will have a time of fellowship here in this room. And kids, in case you noticed, there are just a few hundred Easter eggs waiting for you outside. But this is a time that is made for worship. So let's get to it.
At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards in the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, "Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God."
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Both readings for today fall within what the church calls good news. If you go to a seminary or a school of learning, they will tell you that readings like the ones we encountered this morning are good news. With all due respect to my seminary professors, somehow the readings from today are not just good news, they are great news. Stones rolling back, tombs bursting open, life springing forth. That is not just good. That is great. Here in Jeremiah, and you need to know something about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the great prophets, and they define great prophets by how much they wrote. So Jeremiah simply wrote more than others, and so he became a great prophet. If you're feeling particularly great about yourself someday, if the wind is in your sails and the sun is out, I would recommend picking up Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, throughout most of that book, is a downer. Jeremiah is talking about the wrath of God all the time. He cannot stop talking about the ways that we fall short and that the wrath of God is just ready to pour forth on all of us. Most of Jeremiah is a tough slog at best. There are a couple pieces. There is one where Jeremiah reminds us that God is going to take the covenant, the holy promise between God and the people, and God is going to write it on our hearts. That's pretty beautiful, isn't it? And then there is this passage. There is a passage about belonging, about the fact that God remembers, about the fact that we will find grace in whatever wilderness we find ourselves in, that God promises not a fleeting love, but an everlasting one. God promises that all of you will one day dance with tambourines, whether you have any rhythm or not. God promises that vineyards will not only be planted, but they will develop into the most succulent grapes and the most beautiful of wines. God says that there will be a day coming up where you will grab a pear and bite into it, and the juice is going to run down your chin and all over your shirt, and the stickiness is going to feel incredible. That is not just good news. That is great news. Amen. Now, if you came to church this morning just to sit back and watch worship unfold, if you came to simply watch and observe, then I'm sorry, you have come to the wrong place, and you could probably still go find another church like that one. You're all going to stay? Okay. But here, we understand that the word liturgy means the work of all the people. Not just Jack and Marjorie singing, not just the kids bringing up flowers, not just claws being removed from this gorgeous cross of flowers decorated by Jackie Hawkins, but it means that all of you have to do the work. So instead of sitting back, I'm going to ask you a question, and here's the thing, be ready to answer it, because I'm actually going to ask it to you to say it out loud. So think about it for a minute. I want you to think about the last time that you got not just good news, but that you really got great news. I'm not talking about $20 scratch ticket win. I'm not talking about the Patriots coming back in that unbelievable way to win the Super Bowl. I'm not even talking about, for all the guys here who are itching, Bronley, to just get outside after this is over and play some tennis or golf. I'm not even talking about that kind of good news. I'm talking about great news. The kind of news that you can't wait to shout out loud in a room in the middle of strangers. So what was the last great news that you got? Think about it. You got something? I hope so. Because now, I want you to turn your gaze into the center of this room. I want you to see all the strangers that are in this room. And I want you to shout out on the count of three the last great news you got for everyone to hear. You ready? All right, then you better do this, because you said you were going to. One, two, three. Wow, that's amazing. Now, in all honesty, I couldn't really hear what you said. But there's a difference between good news and great news. And here is something that news does. When you have great news, there are a few things that happen. First, whatever that great news was changes everything in that instant. In the moment that you hear it, life changes. Joy breaks out. But the thing about great news is it doesn't stop there. Great news continues to unfold, and it changes your whole life and the way you look at the whole world. That's what news does. I don't know if anybody shouted out the good news that was on my heart. The day that I picked up my son and held him in my arms for the first time. I knew that life had changed. But the truth of it is that life continues to change through that good news in ways I could never have ever imagined. For now, I see the world completely differently. Maybe it was a new job that takes you on an adventure across the world. Maybe it was the news that that cancer diagnosis has gone into remission. I don't know what your great news was, but the great news, and news in general, is something that doesn't just bring about joy in the moment like that $20 scratch ticket or even the Pats win. It is a way of changing the whole way you look at the world. Sometimes I think on Easter, we forget that this is good news, that this isn't some theological riddle wrapped up for us to understand, that this isn't just about a promise for life after death, that we aren't all just biding our time here and waiting and sitting back and watching until the promise of something in eternity comes our way. Don't get me wrong. That promise is absolutely 100% part of what happens today. But if it is to be great news, it isn't just that moment. It is a way of unfolding until we see the whole world differently. The people of the time were expecting a great new king to come and deliver them. They were expecting someone who was going to shake up and change the entire world. And who did they get? They got Jesus. They got a man from a backwater hill town. They got a carpenter's son. They got a man who sat there and ate with sinners, a man who healed anyone who would come to him, a man who spread the good news in word and deed, and they were expecting the whole world to change. And then Rome stepped in. And Rome said, "We've seen the likes of you before. And so we're going to do to you what we do to everybody. We're going to hoist you up on that cross, and we're going to squish this movement out. It's going to be over because we are more powerful than you." And so they did. All the forces of betrayal, desertion, sin, and shortcoming put Jesus on a cross. Herod washed his hands of the whole thing, and the powers that be said, "It's over." And it would have been. It would have been. He would have been just another prophet. But the good news of Easter is that the stone did roll back. The good news of Easter is that Christ was resurrected. The good news of Easter is not even just in that moment, but that our God is on the move, speaking and whispering, raising and resurrecting. That the whole world's outlook has changed. The God who made the world to be good is on the move and inviting us to be part of that unfolding good news. For you see, Easter is not a spectator sport. It is not a day to show up once a year and sit back in our beautiful finery and then go out for a brunch and let it just feel good and hopefully get along with the family in the afternoon as you're all gathered together and chalk it up as another good day. No. Easter is about the great news that Jesus showed with his life, his death, and his resurrection. The news that God's love cannot be stopped no matter what the world does. The great thinker C.S. Lewis had a chance to pick out the inscription that would go on his grave in Westminster Abbey. And here's what he chose. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it, through it, because of it, I see everything else in the whole world differently." So your charge today is to let this good news of Easter change the way you see everything. To see God with different eyes, to see the world with different eyes, to see your neighbor with different eyes, to even see yourself with different eyes. Friends, Easter is a day of great news. Don't let it be confined to this worship or these walls, no matter how beautiful this time is. Take the truth of this news and play it out every day that you draw breath. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? All right, let us stand and sing.
Please be seated. Now let us raise our, join us in this prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of this wonderful day. Thank you for making us, and thank you for giving us the consciousness and understanding to appreciate the beauty of the world you created. We thank you for the people gathered here today. These faithful souls have walked with you for 40 days from the desert to the cross. These people have confessed their sins openly before you, trusting in your grace and perfect forgiveness. We have shouted Hosanna for you, celebrating your power and glory. We have shared a meal with you and celebrated your gifts in remembrance of you. We have watched at the cross and taken our responsibility for our part in that tremendous sacrifice. We have grieved for you and wept with your mother at the tomb. And now today we celebrate with deepest joy your victory, the victory of life over death. Now we know nothing can separate us from you. Nothing can separate us from the joy of your presence now and forever. We celebrate today, dear Lord, but our lives here are far from perfect. Some of us come today bearing burdens of worry and grief. Our hearts are anxious for ourselves and our loved ones who struggle with physical infirmity and emotional pain. We struggle with uncertainty about our futures, our employment, and our positions in life. Our hearts ache with sorrow because of missing loved ones who have gone on before to live with you. And while we trust in your love and care for them, we miss their presence here, especially on joyous occasions like today. We also feel the burdens of the poor and oppressed here in our county, in our country, and in the world. And we continue to ask for your mercy for victims of war and injustice. We ask these things because we trust you, Lord. We are an Easter people, and we know that you have prevailed over sin and death. In the end, nothing can harm us. We know that today more than ever. Help us to remember it every day. With your help, we will go on in the words of the old hymn we sang this morning at sunrise, leaning on the everlasting arms. And let all the people say, Amen.
Friends, there is a great rabbinic teaching. In the tradition that Jesus lived, the rabbinic teaching helped to shape their lives. And that teaching is this. If you have the power to let someone else do good, and you deny them the chance, it is a sin. If you have the power to help others do good, and you deny them that chance, it is a sin. Well, and since it is Easter, and since I would not want to commit such a sin myself, I'm going to give you the opportunity to help others. I'm going to give you the opportunity to open your wallets and your purses, to dig deep for your coins and your cash and your checks. And I'm going to invite you to take them out and to put them in the plates that are going by. For you see, everything that you put in these plates goes to the ministries of this church, and even to the healing of the whole world. So since I don't want to sin, I am giving you this chance. Friends, I ask you to give, and to give joyfully, because as Scripture tells us, God loves a cheerful giver.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Luminary Peter Gomes describes what's about to happen next, that fancy word, the doxology, as the climax of the whole worship service. He says it is that moment when everything comes together in praise of God, when all seems right in this room and in the world, and perhaps it is. In the Caribbean and African American traditions, worship is an act of the whole body. It is a time when we are supposed to let the Spirit move through us, even if it makes us sway a little bit or raise our hands. Now, I know this is New England. I know this is Stockbridge. And I know all of that makes you very nervous. But today is Easter, and so anything is possible. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take that bulletin, put it down. You don't need it. Take your bodies, lift them up. You're going to need them. And as we start this doxology, the choir is going to start singing. There's only one word to it. It's hallelujah. I think you can pick up on that. Let the choir lead you along, and whenever you want to jump in, start singing. We're going to keep singing until you're all dancing. Well, or at least until it seems like you get it. Kathy, hit it. Let us pray. God, you have given us the gift of joy. You have filled this room with the power of your love. And now we ask you to pour out that love. Pour it out in waterfalls of tenderness. Let it drip over these gifts and transform them into tokens of your grace. Let it cascade over our heads that we might be transformed into beacons of your love. God, ask much of us. Send us forth to do your good work and to spread your love into the deepest, darkest corners. And let the whole church say, Amen. So, friends, I have a few invitations for you as we close worship for this day. There will be food and fellowship set out in that room. Please come and enjoy. There will be Easter eggs and fun things out on that lawn. Please come and enjoy. You are invited to come back to this house of worship whenever you need a dose of great news, and we will do our best to provide it for you. And now, while you're standing, I invite you to pick up your bulletins. For here, we believe that to bear witness to something is not to watch it unfold, but to commit ourselves to being part of its unfolding. And so before you leave today, I want you to get the Easter meaning into the depth of your heart by repeating the conviction, the great conviction of the Apostle Paul as found in the book of Romans.
What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us?
Who will separate us from the love of Christ? will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Friends, go now. And as you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God, have that holy respect for God's almighty power, that you need fear nothing else, not even death itself. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one, until we meet again. And let the whole church say, Amen.